The genes of you and me, genes of you and me, they're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made of DNA.
Hello, and welcome to the 18th episode of Discovering New Advances, or DNA, a podcast that keeps you up to date about the scientific world in easy-to-understand language. So whether you're a student in middle school or a grandparent, you'll easily be able to follow along. I'm Kira, and on this episode, I will give an introduction lesson about the famous scientist Rosalind Franklin. For more information, please visit dnapodcast.com or email in at info@dnapodcast.com. On this lesson, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to learn about Rosalind Franklin and her contributions to the discovery of the structure of DNA. Rosalind Franklin is best known for making key contributions to the discovery of the structure of DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. Other significant additions to science she made was with RNA, viruses, coal, and graphite. The reason why DNA sticks out among the other molecular substances is because of its vital role to life. Without DNA, life simply would not exist. This is why we're going to focus on her part of discovering the structure of DNA in this lesson. Rosalind Franklin was a British biophysicist and X-ray crystallographer. Being an X-ray crystallographer was key to her success in helping identify the structure of DNA because she used those methods. There's much controversy over Franklin's life. Although some would argue Rosalind Franklin discovered the structure of DNA, it was James Watson, Francis Crick, and Maurice Wilkins who received a Nobel Prize for the double helix model of DNA in 1962. Note that the Nobel Prize can only be shared by three scientists, which prevented Rosalind Franklin from getting credit. Recipients must also be alive to receive the honor. This Nobel Prize was awarded 4 years after Franklin died from ovarian cancer at the young age of 37. It is a mystery what else she could have accomplished in her life and whether the groundbreaking Nobel Prize double helix DNA model would have been hers had she not perished so young. Rosalind was fortunate enough, though, to attend one of the only girls' school to teach chemistry and physics. At the age of 15, she realized she aspired to be a scientist, without the approval of her father, who wished for her to become a social worker. If it hadn't been for World War I, her father might have finished his education and followed his own passion to be a scientist. He knew how difficult it was for women to have a career in science, which is why he discouraged his daughter. Eventually, though, he gave in, and Franklin enrolled at Newnham College in Cambridge, where she later graduated. Shortly after graduation, she conducted fundamental studies of carbon and graphite microstructures. She received her doctorate in physical chemistry, which she earned from Cambridge University in 1945. Her next move was to Paris, where a friend introduced her to Marcel Mathieu, the director of the French National Center for Scientific Research. It was here where she met Jacques Mering, an X-ray crystallographer. She learned X-ray diffraction techniques from which would lead to her methods of obtaining pictures of the structure of DNA, which later made famous by Watson and Crick. With this new knowledge of X-ray crystallography, she was hired at John Randall's laboratory at King's College in London. Here she set up and improved the X-ray crystallography unit. Before Rosalind Franklin joined Randall's laboratory, Maurice Wilkin was executing his own idea of studying DNA through X-ray crystallography techniques. Their relationship was not a pleasant one, though. At first, Maurice Wilkins mistaked her for a technical assistant rather than the peer she was. He had been away when she started at the lab and was confused upon his return what her role was. And remember, at this time, women were not treated as equals, especially in such a male-dominated field. During the process of researching and understanding the structure of DNA, four main ideas had to merge together to form this structure in the scientist's mind. The first was that the phosphate backbone was on the outside, bases on the inside. The second, that the molecule was a double helix. The third, that the strands were anti-parallel, therefore running in opposite directions. And fourth, that it had specific base pairing. The first idea, again, was that the phosphate backbone was on the outside, bases on the inside. This first idea was established by Rosalind Franklin. She found this out by bundling ultra-thin strands of DNA and hitting them with a fine X-ray beam. By doing this, she discovered that there were two forms of hydration. The A form, which was easy to photograph because it was dry, and the B form, which was harder to photograph since it was wet. Her B form photographs showed a fuzzy cross, this later was understood as the helix. This works because the water is attracted to the phosphates, which make up the backbone of DNA. The DNA was easily hydrated and dehydrated. With the observation, she guessed that the backbone was on the exterior while the bases were located in the interior. This solved the first part of the problem. In following lessons, we will review how the other parts were found. Rosalind Franklin was very close to solving the DNA structure 1951 through 1953, although Watson and Crick beat her to publishing their findings. It was her crystallography image of DNA that gave Watson and Crick the last piece of the puzzle they needed. It was Wilkins, Franklin's co-worker, who had showed the dynamic duo of Watson and Crick Franklin's work. Wilkins and Franklin went in different directions after their harsh collaboration. Franklin contributed key information to the X-ray crystallography analysis of the structure of tobacco mosaic virus, which was a landmark in the field. She also did become close friends with Francis Crick and his wife, even though Francis Crick took some of her information and all of that. While undergoing cancer treatment, Franklin continued to work. Her group produced results, writing a total of 13 papers in 1956 and 1957. They were working on the polio virus through funding from the Public Health Service of the National Institute of Health in the United States. It has been said that her exposure to X-ray radiation contributed to her ovarian cancer. Rosalind Franklin contributed more to the discovery of DNA than she received credit for, even missing out on the Nobel Peace Prize that James Watson, Francis Crick, and Maurice Wilkins received for the double helix model of DNA in 1962. Although she was a woman, she overcame many barriers to become the accomplished scientist she was. I hope you found Rosalind Franklin's role in the discovery of the structure of DNA interesting. You can visit the website, dnapodcast.com, for a transcript of the show, along with all the other episodes, in audio format as well as in a visual format. If you have any questions and comments, you can pop over to the contact form on our website or email directly at info@dnapodcast.com. To keep updated with the show, you can also like it on Facebook, follow it on Twitter, both at /DNApodcast. To get automatic downloads in iTunes, subscribe and please rate and review. That's the biggest favor you can do for me. You can find all the links I mentioned on the website, dnapodcast.com. Thanks for listening and join me next episode to learn and discover new advances in the world of genetics.